they ain't done squat. And how many times can I work over Dick Stockton, gentlemen? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Slow your roll over there, Arians. And I went with the eggplant. We're now getting the A-team.
Yay, yay, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, we are just a hair more than 3 weeks away from the regular season kickoff. Unbelievable. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, where we talk all about it and a hell of a lot more with the sage of Tampa Bay sports and all his wisdom, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well, Steve. You know, it's become more and more apparent. You can't get away from it, that this damn town, whatever you think of it, is the freaking nerve center of the National Football League. We weren't the nerve center even in 2002. You know, there were other teams and other glamour players. And I'm telling you, I can't put on NFL Network, gentlemen, without a breakdown of the Buccaneers. They got Gronkowski on today. Then they run the interview with Billick, and then they analyze what he said. And I'm telling you, it's almost 24/7 Bucks. Lee, you've made this point before. The Glazers could not have imagined. You know, they knew that the Brady aura and the Brady effect, but I think it's triple the amount any of us ever anticipated. And I think it's great for us because, this enhanced fan base, they want to know everything that's going on. And where else are you going to go but Joe Bucks fan? Bravo, gentlemen. Bravo.
First off, it's much more than I ever dreamed. Second, the Glazers, they couldn't have bought this kind of coverage. They couldn't have bought it. I mean, it's just, they have to be bouncing off the walls. They're so happy. But the interesting thing is that, everybody talks about Peter Schrager, especially of NFL Network, of course. He's a closet Bucks fan, but he said, Mike Evans is going to be a household name. Not too many people know about Mike Evans because he plays for a lousy team. They're never on Monday Night Football, and now they will be. And he says the same thing about Levante David. What's interesting is I was listening to Jimmy Trania's podcast. He's had a sports media podcast for the longest time. It's one of my favorite podcasts. He's excellent. And he had Joe Buck on a couple weeks ago. And Joe Buck was saying how, he was needling Joe Buck. He goes, are you going to get an apartment in Tampa? And Joe Buck, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of Bucks games, Aikman and I. And then, Buck started talking about why, everybody's into the Bucks and why everybody wants to know about the Bucks and why Fox is going to be sending Buck and Aikman down to Tampa so much to do Bucks games. And he talked about Arians. And he talked about Brady. And he talked about Gronkowski. And that was it.
Steve, one of the first things I thought about, and it's just the way we're wired over here in our business, but, when the Bucks got Brady, I swear, one of the things I was thinking about within an hour is that, and you know me in a press box, Steve, there aren't too many people that work a press box like me. And how many times can I work over Dick Stockton, gentlemen? Dick Stockton.
That fossil?
Was doing Celtics Sixers with Bird against Irving, and of course I was watching. That's 40 years ago, gentlemen. 40.
Ira, he was doing Red Sox games in the 70s.
So, one of the first things I thought about was, here comes Buck and Aikman. Here they come. I can't remember the last time they stepped foot in Ray J. I mean, it might be years and years. Might be. We're now getting the A-team, Stephen, in every way you can think about it.
Well, Sage, when I heard that from Peter Schrager, Mike Evans' household name, I was like, come on, man. Everybody knew Mike Evans in college. There's gazillions of millions of people who play fantasy football who've been watching Mike Evans for 6 years already. It's like, it was a little bit over the top. I appreciated it, but Mike Evans is a household name for the average football
fan. He should have said Chris Godwin. He should have said Chris Godwin.
He should have, Sage. Yeah. Now, we should have said also, Peter Schrager should have said Bill Curry Ford is where you go shopping when you need a truck, when you need any kind of vehicle. BillCurryFord.com is where to start. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, which means they've been there a mile north of Raymond James Stadium for 60 years, taking care of customers, standing behind the Curry family name. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM. He's our friend. He's your friend. He wants to help put anyone in a vehicle and answer all their questions, give them the best deal in town, the best financing in town. They even do their own auto insurance there, Curry Cares Insurance. best of everything in town. Bill Curry Ford, Ira.
You know, speaking of Sean Sullivan, Steve, I've been thinking about the college football season and the chaos, and some conferences are playing and some aren't. Oh. And, Lee, that is going to mess with Sean Sullivan's deep dive, deep analysis into the upcoming draft class. And it's really going to mess Sullivan up. He's got charts and he's got film and this and that. And he's probably going to have to, you know, use a year-old film on a bunch of top prospects.
But not only Sean Sullivan messed up, imagine what's doing to Jason Light and his scouts.
Now all of a sudden
you're going to have spring football, which I don't know if that's going to happen. But allegedly you're going to have spring football in the Big Ten and the Pac. I don't know about the Pac-12, but you know, here where all the, you know, they'd be focused on the draft. Learn the draft. They'd be going, you know, all the games have played, all the scouting reports have been in, and now you got to go on top of that. Now you have to go scout games. And then you're getting these reports. I don't know if the NFL, and they can, but I don't know if the NFL is going to give their teams a break and push the draft back to like May or June.
They could.
They easily could. Wasn't it a couple of years ago they had the draft like May 2nd, I think, for some reason?
And Steve, the draft's going to be in Vegas, Steve, I believe. Am I right?
Yeah, they're going back to Vegas in 2 years, I think it was. Regardless, you would think that the NFL would delay the draft until after whatever spring season is played, because who the hell's going to draft a guy who still has 4 games left? I mean,
no question,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Of course, someone will argue baseball does just that.
And guys, speaking of Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry, full service, anything you'd want. They got the Big Storm kiosk over there, food, drink. Steve, I got to give you some kudos. You did a very nice job with Mr. Mike Allstock the other day with your podcast. Good questions, good answers, good flow. And Steve, speaking of Bill Curry, Mike Allstock's a Bill Curry man. Through and through, baby.
Absolutely. You're just referring to the last Ira Kaufman podcast, which anyone can listen to at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, right at JoeBucksFan.com. Right in the middle of there is just a little sit-down I had with Mike Allstott. If you haven't listened, take a listen. Sage, some news, some intrigue today on a lot of different levels. We can't even get to all of it, but Bruce Arians was on the Rich Eisen show, Ira, and he had some very interesting things to say with his old pal, and
is there a show that Arians turns down? Does he ever turn anything down, Stephen? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Ira Kaufman podcast.
Yeah, Ira Kaufman podcast. The guy won't come on. He refuses. He refuses.
I'm working on it, gentlemen. I'm working on it.
All right, Ira. Now listen, Arians. He gets on with Rich Eisen, and he says, he proclaims, which goes to some things we've talked about pressure on this team. He says that this Bucs team, talent-wise, is as good as we were in Pittsburgh when we were really good, with Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes and Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders and Heath Miller and Antonio Brown and Rashard Mendenhall. And then he said we might be better.
Wait a minute. Slow your roll over there, Arians. Slow your roll. Now, look, this is a talented football team. They managed to go 7-9 despite leading the league in penalties and giveaways. That's not easy, and I think that's a reflection, Lee, right then and there on the talent base on this football team. And that's before you add Gronkowski and Brady and a couple of rookies who are supposed to make an impact. But I'm not ready to go there, because at the same time, and I don't remember what show Arian said this, I don't think he said it on the Zoom call today, but didn't he say the Bucs ain't done nothing? And instead of using the word nothing, he did a four-letter word that starts with S and ends with T in terms of this franchise. It's all talk right now, Steve. It's all on paper. And Arians, I think, is very wise to remind this group, including Brady and Gronkowski, that they ain't done squat as Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that should be the driving theme going into the season.
The sage has spoken. You know what Arians does say every day, Ira? And, you know, I realize I forgot to introduce Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan. That's Lee. I'm Steve Isbitz, if this is your first time tuning into the podcast. And we're both from JoeBucksFan.com. One thing he does every day, Ira, that he revealed, He says every day he talks to the team about COVID-19. Every single day, quote, "I'm the mask police." And he literally said he is the mask police, gave an example of he goes up to guys that come out of the shower. He says, "I know you just got out of the shower, put your damn mask on." And he's been studying what he's going to wear. Arians himself, he said he's not going with the shield, the face shield, consulting with the doctors all the time. And he's going to wear a very tight wrapped sunglasses to protect his eyes. And that's really the only reason for the shield, he says. So, you know, he's the mask police, which is quite a different role for a busy head coach.
You know, Lee, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in the Superdome with a hazmat suit. It wouldn't surprise me, Lee.
You took the words out of my mouth, but my God, how hot would that be?
But I love the idea. As Steve was talking about, this is the most talented team and this and that, before he even got to the Steelers. And I bet you the same thing was going through your mind, Lee. Dirk Cutter talking about, you know, the 2017 Bucks coming off a winning season, adding a couple of free agents who turned out to be bums, but Cutter didn't know it at the time. And then he couldn't say enough about the talent base on the 2017 Bucks going into the season. Then they laid an egg.
Well, and the very next year, your buddy Dungy said the exact same thing. So we've got three coaches now bragging about how this team has talent. Cutter, who I don't think anybody will suggest is in Arians' league, and Dungy, who is in the Hall of Fame. And so it'll be interesting. You know, sooner or later, either these guys don't know how to judge talent, or these guys are mentally inept.
And Steve, you know the way I interpret it? You know, Arians may not like this, but I think it's a natural way to look at it, is when you make a statement like that, you're laying it on the line for you and your coaching staff, Steve.
Of course.
I mean, unless Brady goes down and all bets are off or whatever, but barring that, you know, you're going to have some injuries, and you can't use, you know, you can't use Whitehead missing four games as an excuse for a season. So, you know, I think
they're loaded. They're loaded with talent. We see it. It doesn't mean, you know.
I've never heard you say that, Steve.
Well, they're loaded with talent.
I've never heard you say that about this franchise.
We know they're loaded. We know they're loaded.
They clearly are a receiver. No question about it. They clearly are a tight end. There's no question about that. Running backs, I won't go there. Defensive line, sure. Linebackers, very much so. Secondary, it's a work in progress. They've got talent. Now, I don't know if I'd compare them to the Steelers. I don't see a Hall of Famer like Polamalu in the secondary.
And now, Lee, you...
I don't see a running back, a Hall of Fame running back in the backfield.
You left out the offensive line, Lee. I'd say average, right?
Okay.
Average.
Yeah,
okay.
They're not the Steelers. Steelers, when's the last time the Steelers have had a bad offensive line, honestly?
Right,
oh,
that's a good point right there.
Ira, when I say they're loaded with talent. There are other teams that are loaded as well. It's exciting to have the Bucks loaded, but as we see every year in the NFL, and really in every single sport, you name it, there's always great collections of talent that don't come together as a team. That's always been the challenge across sports, and it's been that way with the Bucks for a few years where they've had talent. They couldn't put it together. It's exciting as hell, though, but to hear Arians take it to a Super Bowl level like that, like you said, he's laying it all on the line, and it's fun.
You know, I think maybe the biggest question, Steve, in that regard, facing this team, as we enter the 2020 season is, can they live up to the hype? I think that is the overarching storyline, Lee, of this franchise. You know, the hype's a lot more than it was in 2017. It was a little bit of hype. Nothing comparative to this. They didn't have Brady. They didn't have Gronkowski. But they were coming off a winning season. Here they're coming off 7-9. But no comparison in terms of expectations. I don't remember the over-under for the 2017 Bucks. It was probably 9, Lee. Coming off 9-7, it was probably 9. You know, and now it's 9.5. But in terms of the passion of the fan base, Lee, the casual fans, we haven't seen anything like this around here in a long, long time. And you never know, Lee, you never know how players are going to handle that. I think the fact that Brady is here is a big plus in that regard in terms of staying grounded and putting the work in.
I'm glad you brought this up, Ira. The light bulb went off in my head. I haven't done this. I heard this 2 weeks ago. It was on Michael Lombardi's podcast. And you talked about hype, and they were coming off 10 wins. Nine wins. I'm sorry. They're coming off 9 wins.
Right.
And then they go on Hard Knocks. And and that was probably the highlight of their season. Lombardi and his cohort, who Adam Amin, I think his name is, it's immaterial, but mainly it was Lombardi. Those guys said that if the NFL would have been smart, with all the hype the Bucks were getting, everybody wants to have a piece of the Bucks. Goodell should have thrown his weight around and said, Bucks, you're going back on Hard Knocks. You've got no choice.
Interesting.
And if you think about look at all the name players, the personalities on the Bucks. That would have been fantastic. Brady, Gronk, Eagle on Arians, on and on and on.
Would have been fantastic television. I got to think Arians would have hated that idea. Light would have hated it. Brady wouldn't care, and I think the Glazers might have welcomed it. But I'm glad they're not on Hard Knocks. We know what happened the last time around.
All right, Sage. A couple of nuggets that don't necessarily need a lot of discussion, but they could use your wisdom, Ira. Arians, on Eisen's show, he talked about two personnel decisions. And he never mentioned Jason Light. And he continually never mentions the general manager. And I swear, if you listen to Arians, you would think that Light is just to getting him coffee. I just don't understand this. So he was asked really to explain how he got Gronk and how that went down. And I hadn't heard this nuance before. Arians said that in 2018, when he was a broadcaster, he did a Patriots game and just saw how Gronk was just beaten down and just broken down. And so he really needed to be sold on Gronk, because the last he saw him, he didn't look good. And he had studied film leading up to the broadcast. And he basically said, quote, Tom sold me on him and we got the deal done. He didn't mention Jason Light, didn't mention the scouting.
Tom sold me.
Yes, that's the critical line. Tom sold me on him
and we got the deal done. That's the quote. And
you know,
he moved on, Ira, real quick. He moved on to say, talk about his number one goal in the offseason was to bring back the defense. Just doesn't mention the GM. It's very strange.
You've touched on this. You haven't dwelled on it, but you've touched on it in prior podcasts here. And I got to say, Lee, I think Steve makes a valid point. I don't know what's going on there with the Arians light dynamic. I don't think it flows vice versa. In the few interviews Light ever does, he's always lauding Arians. Always saying how Arians was the key in attracting Brady. But as far as Arians talking about the Bucks and acquisitions, Lee, it's kind of interesting. Who knows what Arians is thinking about a post-coaching career? Who knows? You can't get into the guy's head. He's not going to coach forever. He'll probably bow out when Brady bows out. I would think he'll bow out, you know, and will he go back to Georgia and play golf, or will he go to a front office on an NFL team? Interesting, but I think he could give Light a little credit once in a while. I don't think that'd be a bad thing, Lee.
The thing about Brady and Gronk, that shouldn't surprise anyone. I think just about anybody that pays attention probably thought, if it wasn't a package deal, that Brady was the motivating factor about it, you know? It is interesting that, Arians, he talks like, he's running things almost. Now, here's another one, conspiracy for you, Ira. It's not really a conspiracy, but if, let's say hypothetically, the Bucks can get Brady. Brady's like, I'm not going down there. They haven't won forever, you know, since Warren Sapp was playing. I'm not. Forget that. And the Bucks are left with either Jameis or Case Keenum. So they're going to take Jameis. Does Sue or JPP return? I don't think so.
I'm with you. I doubt it. Shaq Barrett, yes. Those other two, I doubt it.
Shaq had no choice. He got franchised. So.
Yeah. Sue would have went on with an. You know, look, I mentioned it the other day. I kind of used it as a throwaway line. Steve, you edited the story. I think it's the first time I ever suggested this. But I said, and Lee, I think you've touched on this, is by the end of the season, after those two games, two home losses, games that Arians certainly thought the Bucks should win and would have given them a six-game winning streak going into a new season, I think some players privately, not publicly, privately had turned off on Winston. Lee, you've talked about this. You suggested it. You've hinted at it. There's some truth to that. And you know what? In a way, I wouldn't blame them if they did.
Jim has had how many chances, and then he melts down like that. You know, both Sue and JPP are thinking, you know, my clock, the clock's ticking. I don't have much time.
Yeah.
You know, if I want a ring, I better go somewhere. It's not happening.
Well, I asked JPP that actual question the other day. I don't know if you were on or not, but I asked him, hey, you know, you signed here before Tom Brady did. Was this part of your discussion to know who, did you want to know who the quarterback was? Was that important to you? And he said, whoa, not necessarily. You know, I do what I want to do. Business is business. And he basically said no.
He danced.
You know, I don't know if we believe him or not, but JPP, is he that Mr. Focused on winning? That's how he conducts himself, but I don't know if how intense he is about winning on the free agent market kind of thing. We just don't know for sure.
Well, most of the times, guys, we acknowledge it does come down to money most of the time.
Sure.
Most of the time.
Sure. Yeah. And he might have been able to make more elsewhere. So, we just don't know. He obviously was coming off two good years in a row. Ira, just want to say the reason I bring up the Jason Light stuff is not because I think Jason Light completely sucks. That's not why. But if Arians is really calling the shots, then I think it's very likely that if he wants to step aside as coach, he could just walk right into the GM booth if they're doing pretty well and he wants to just step aside. I'll be GM. Byron, you come on up and coach this team. If he's already calling the shots, that's my point. If he's already running the show, then it makes it a little more interesting down the road.
No question about it, and especially if the Bucs are very successful.
Right.
And do, quote, live up to the hype, unquote, over the next 2 years. Lee, that would give Arians a tremendous position of power in the organization.
Are you suggesting that they're going to run Light out for some reason?
Not necessarily, but Arians...
But to give Arians the keys to the car?
At that point, Arians, I think, would have the power to flex his muscles if he wanted to, Steve, if he wanted to.
Yeah, well, he could just say, you know, they could say, Bruce, you're team president, and Jason, you can stay there because Bruce likes you, and you know, keep going on our way. We're winning. Now, Tom Brady was on Sirius the other night, and two things he said that I thought were especially interesting. One of them was... He's laughing here. He's laughing.
I can barely get through his interviews, man.
One of the things he said, Ira, is that he really sounded frustrated that he's making mistakes. He said, I don't like to make mistakes, and it's just a function of not knowing the playbook and all this other stuff. And when he was talking about that, he talked about the transition and how he kept the playbook right next to my bed for months. And that creates some very interesting visuals. But he's got the playbook. He's studying it constantly. And then he talks about how Dari Ogunbowale is a great leader. He's leader of the running backs. And he's got a big role on offense. These are quotes, Ira. Frightening quotes, but when you think about Ogunbowale, and you think about LeSean McCoy and Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, who knows how they're going to mix this thing up?
Well, at this point, Lee, Brady doesn't know anything about Keyshawn Vaughn. He knows nothing about Vaughn. Probably hasn't seen him on the field very much, if at all. Knows him, you know, hasn't watched the college tape of Vaughn, probably. As far as Dari's concerned, Lee, maybe he could be a lead blocker on a third and two. Leading Jones or McCoy into a, you know, off tackle play or, you know, up the middle run, but he's not going to run the ball. He didn't run the ball last year, Dari. And that's before they had McCoy and Vaughn. He didn't run the ball. He caught some passes. Well, here comes McCoy. Jones improved in that area. Here comes Vaughn. He caught passes in college. I don't see an expanded role for Dari, but that's, you know, that's Brady trying to keep everybody excited and motivated. And Lee, as far as having the playbook next to his bed last night, which bothers me because he's got Giselle. Instead, he's looking at page 7 of Byron Leftwich's diagrams. That's a little disturbing right there. But
are you suggesting that Gronkowski doesn't have a playbook next to his, you know, when he's rubbing the foot of his swimsuit?
I haven't heard Gronkowski talk about it, but. There's probably a little bit of truth to it. You know, it's probably a little bit of an exaggeration. But it wouldn't shock us. And the reason it doesn't shock us, look, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to improve their game. But this guy's another cat, Steve. He's another cat. On the competitive scale, he's right there with Michael Jordan. It doesn't get any better. professional athletics. That's where he is. He's in Michael Jordan territory. In his mind, he's got a lot to prove, and I still think Belichick's a big, big part of this story. I do, and you know how I feel about Belichick. He's going to walk into the Canton, Ohio in 3 minutes, and he deserves to. But Brady, I think, got tired of being in the shadow. And, you know, the big question in New England, you know, for the last 10 years has been a driving question Brady's well aware of is, who's more responsible for the Patriots dynasty, Check or Brady? Well, Keith, I think in about a year from now, we might have some answers.
Well, it's going to be fun regardless. And who knows how long Belichick will still coach. So there's that element to it as well. Ira, one guy getting a lot of love in training camp, Antoine Winfield Jr., the safety. Yeah. And I got to admit, if the Bucs drafted a quality starter safety in the second round, I might need some oxygen. I'll be too ecstatic. I'll be hyperventilating. But Arians said that, you know, has praised this guy a couple of times. Says that he's always in anticipation mode and that he plays a lot of positions. He's called him a baller. And there was an interesting little highlight on Buccaneers.com. Devin White having a chat with Winfield, who's very confident, yet businesslike. And Jordan Whitehead was out there today saying that he sees this guy being so professional and that you can tell that his father played the game and he's all business. And I take that seriously from Whitehead because Whitehead, his cousin's Darrell Revis, they're close, and so he understands the professional aspect of the game. If this kid is any good, Ira, it's going to be very special because if the Buccaneers' secondary can somehow be decent, all of those guys would be making really no money, including going into next year.
Absolutely right, and Winfield's a very interesting case. Lee, in my opinion, Winfield brings a different dimension to the safety position that this team has had for years. They've been stuck. And I asked a question to Whitehead today, and I prefaced it by saying, you know, Jordan, the safety position only came up with two interceptions last year. Two, Lee. Whitehead had one of them. Adams had the other. Two, from the entire position group. What is the one thing we hear about Winfield? Light said it right from the start. Arian said it as soon as he's a Buccaneer. He's around the football. He's a ball magnet. Now, Whitehead's not a ball magnet. So Winfield isn't necessarily here, Lee, to lay people out. You know, that might be Whitehead's forte. He's there not, you know, to get around the ball. Don't drop it. And that's another thing that drove Arians crazy last year. He thought the secondary group as a whole dropped a ton of interceptions. I think he's right. You know, how can you break up that many passes and not come up with picks, Lee?
Even from the
corner position, I think Bunting led them with three. It's not a big number. I think they had 12 as a team, Lee. That's not a big number. There is a big, big place for Winfield on this team. But I got to say, no preseason games, no OTAs, and you start off, you know, against Drew Brees and Kamara and Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Jared Cook. That's a tough debut. But I think he's going to get the job. If he's not on the field 70% of the time as a rookie, at least by week three, I'd be shocked.
The only thing I would think of is, you know, this no off-season stuff, you know, how much that has held him back. For example, Arians talked today about Tyler Johnson. Now, I understand Tyler Johnson. Was he hurt or he had COVID? I can't remember which.
I think he was hurt.
Yeah.
And Arian said he's light years behind. Yeah, that's not good for a third day pick. You're light years behind, and it's August 20th. But I guess it's a good thing the coach wanted you so bad, so you might get some slack. We shall see. I mean, and if it was a normal off season, I would be very surprised if Winfield wasn't starting. But given this wacky off season, that's the only way I would say he's not starting or even starting 70% of the snaps would be for that reason, and that reason only.
There's nobody in that secondary group, and I'm including the cornerbacks, who at this point, and they're young, Steve, at this point, there's nobody you would say is a ball hawk. Nobody's a ball hawk on this team. So here comes Winfield, and that's his forte. So bringing something that, you know, Bowles doesn't have at this point, I think that puts him in a prime spot.
It's just exciting, Ira. If this guy can really step on the field and somehow just hit the ground running, you know, it feels that way. It's all hype now, but that would just be so damn exciting. And Arians, I asked him the other day about Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy bunting, and he said he was so pleased that they just, you know, continued no drop-off, is the phrase he used, no drop-off the minute they hit the practice field this year. Raring to go, very serious. And you just hope that these guys can continue to develop. I'm just excited for next year because if they're all making peanuts under $1 million, which is what it would be, that really frees you up to start re-signing guys instead of trying to fill a hole like, oh, we got to get a number one corner because Carlton Davis melted down and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And that has been among all the problems, all of them, and there's a lot of them, bad coaching, hires, I mean, a ton of them. But Lee, that's the number one problem over 12 years. You know, poor decisions from a personnel standpoint that have ramifications where you got to do something in free agency. You're overpaying because you made a bad draft pick. You got a hole. You don't have any depth. And Lee, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the number one problem when a team's bad for a long period of time. You can't get around it. You can't have, you know, bad drafts in a row. I think that hurt Arians the last couple of years in Arizona. They didn't draft well. That contributed to the problem. And, Lee, things might be turning around in that regard.
You hope so. And yeah, Steve's talked about that many times. And you're exactly right, Ira, that you know Arizona had a good team, but guys need to get paid. When guys need to get paid, you got to let some go. And they weren't drafted anybody to replace the guys that were leaving. Caught up with them very quick.
All right, Ira, you know what? Opening day of football season, September 13th. That means a full day of fun, football, and the best craft beer in Florida at Big Storm Brewing, the flagship location on 49th Street in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports will be socially distanced, but will be watching football in a Bucks rowdy environment. Right there at Big Storm Brewing Company. Ira, it's all confirmed. I mentioned this last time, but it's really confirmed. Zach, the Man Beast intern, he's going to be there at 11 o'clock, manning your table, keeping
it. Wow, wow.
11 a.m., the minute they open, he will be manning your table, keeping it clean, making sure everything's kosher. And then when you make your grand entrance, you'll know that everything's just right. And I'll be there monitoring Zach shortly after that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bucks fans coming out. And, of course, Big Storm is all about the beer and the amazing food menu there. You know, there's not going to be a lot of places that are really going to be promoting football watching, but this is going to be a place to do that. Of course, it's not going to be a packed bar scene with people. You know, you just can't do that in Florida. You're not allowed, and they follow the rules at Big Storm. But what a great modern place to watch the games. You're going to have a lot of fun, Ira.
You know, Steve, you and I will be leading the screams as Winfield picks off Drew Brees for his first pro interception. You know, we'll be leading the cheers now. There's a problem here. Lee, you know the Man Beast. And if he shows up at 11 and he's chowing down for 7 hours on that Sunday, he's going to run up a tidy bill. And if Steve ends up paying the freight, that could bust Joe Buck's fan right there. Lee, I'm a little concerned.
Don't be.
So anyway, Big Storm Beer, of course, they have their tap room in Odessa right off State Road 54. You can get takeout food, but the beer is all over town, all over the state. It's in several states. Go to BigStormBrewery.com, and they still have their fantastic hand sanitizer that they're making, Ira. I'm holding a bottle right here as I speak to you since I know that you're not always very sanitary.
Steve, what do you know, if anything? Steve, what are you hearing from Todd Wright, our man Todd Wright, about our annual fantasy football draft? What's going on, Steve?
Sure. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is rolling. And, yes, there will be probably four leagues this year. I believe last year there were three. Ira's going to be playing again, so you got a chance to get in and play against Ira in fantasy football. And Todd's going to do something in person, but it's not going to be at Hooters, where they sponsor the podcast, because Hooters this year is not hosting any big fantasy draft parties. It's just a company decision. But they're encouraging takeout.
Because of the virus.
Yeah, because of the virus.
Social distancing, yeah.
You got it. Yeah, they're encouraging takeout. They, you know, because usually Hooters, you know, for a whole month, they're filled with fantasy football parties. but not this year. But Todd's going to be doing something with Hooters Takeout Food as part of the podcast. So you'll get your invite, Ira. Don't worry. You'll get your invite.
And you'll get your wings. You know, I walked out of Hooters last year. I think you were there, Lee. I think you came down to watch.
John Sullivan picked up your tab, didn't he?
And we were talking to Dennis Phillips. Remember, Lee?
Dennis Phillips, yes.
Anyway, I walked out of there, and I felt like $1 million, man. And and by January 1st, I felt like $1.50. I mean, well, what's going on here? I had a hell of a team.
Generally, people walk out of Hooters feeling like $1 million for other reasons. But okay.
You know, I got to change my strategy, Steve. I got the wrong focus. I'm looking at quarterbacks. And, you know, I'm over there looking at a quarterback in round two, and these guys are picking quarterbacks in round seven. I got to change my focus here.
I look forward to kicking your ass again.
You're going somewhere else with that.
I look forward to kicking your ass again, and I know Sean Sullivan does too.
By the way, Steve, this year in particular, and it goes to what you said at the start of this podcast, there's a lot of bucks to take in fantasy football, gentlemen. That hasn't always been the case. It's rarely been the case from an offensive standpoint. Things have changed in Tampa.
Ira, I got to ask you, you bring this up, and I'm not a fantasy guy. Is that a smart play in fantasy football? Because the ball is going to be spread around. Generally, wouldn't you want a guy who is head and shoulders the number one target? Like DeAndre Hopkins last year with Houston, there was Hopkins and nobody else, basically.
Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Yeah, you're right. But you're looking at a guy like Brady. I think Brady's going to throw more than 24 touchdowns, gentlemen, and he ain't going to throw a lot of picks, and we know that. Brady, I think, is in an enhanced position for fantasy football with the weapons around them.
On Cowherd's show the other day, they did like an over-under on a lot of Brady stats. One was 5,000 yards. Cowherd said over 5,000. He will break 5,000.
Wow, over 5,000. Wow.
He's done it once before.
I like the under. I don't think Arians is in any hurry for Brady to throw the ball 40 times a game. Now, Steve, what you said is true. He's not here to hand the ball off. But you also want to protect the guy, Steve, and I don't know. He's not going to throw the ball downfield as often as Jameis Winston did. He's just not.
Well, Ira, the greatest insight into how this might go, and obviously it's not that great of an insight, but it's something new. Again, Arians on Rich Eisen's show today, he was asked, how you doing this with Brady? How you figuring out the offense? How you really doing it? And he said he sat down with Brady for 3.5 hours strictly to determine what Brady likes to do. Arians actually used the word loves to do. Yes. And he said it was just simply, Tom, you love to do this? Okay. Now I open my playbook and I pick out what matches that. And now we're going to talk about who is going to fill that role. And that's how they did it. And Arians said, you know, Tom would say something like, quote, this is how we try to get Julian open on this kind of play. And then Arians would pull up the play and tweak it, and away they go. So, I mean, if he wants to throw the ball, if he sees all those weapons, I'm going to go with over 5,000 right now. But honestly, if it was my own money, I wouldn't bet anything over, period, because you don't know how the virus is going to take down a couple of games.
That's a big number. It's over 300 yards a game. It's a big number.
It's a big number. Another reason why he liked Brady at 5,000, he said in this offense, he goes, Jameis threw for 5,000,
right,
and had 30 picks. So what if Jameis had, let's say, 12 picks? How many more yards would he have had?
He gets a lot more possessions, right, Lee? A lot more possessions.
Longer possessions, certainly.
Yeah, and longer possessions. You know, Steve, that 3.5 hour meeting with Arians, which, by the way, I think is only going to be the first of many. They may not last 3.5 hours, but they are going to have a lot of discussions. And, gentlemen, we don't like to pat ourselves on the back on this podcast, but we have repeatedly said, for all those that are so worried, how is Arians going to make adjustments with Tom Brady rather than Winston? They got different strengths, different weaknesses. How flexible is Arians going to be? The answer is he's going to be damn flexible. He's no dummy. That's why he's a two-time coach of the year. He's the one who picked Brady, not Light, not Glazer. He's the one who mentioned Brady from the start. Door number two, maybe he didn't think it was going to happen, but he went public with it. He didn't have any trouble you know, telling everybody what he wanted. And then he gets the guy, and it's absurd, absurd to think that Bruce Arians is going to rely on his trusty 2019 playbook, and Brady will have to make all the adjustments. You know what adjustments Brady's going to have to make, Lee? Nomenclature. Nomenclature.
Uh-oh.
Steve, am I wrong? But didn't Arians say that all the plays that New England ran, we got in our playbook? Didn't he say that, Steve?
Sure.
I think he did.
Sure. It sounds good. It's a fun soundbite. I'm not worried about them, Ira. On the 5,000 yards, though, did Patrick Mahomes throw for 5,000 yards last year, Ira?
No. 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do it last year, and they won the Super Bowl, and he didn't have a running back who was dominant, and
right.
He also has a ton of weapons. So, I honestly, if I really had to say, I would say if Brady's throwing for 5,000-plus yards, something might be a little bit wrong with the way the Bucs are hoping this season goes. But,
that's an interesting way to look at it. And Lee, it might mean that the defense didn't play up to a snuff. It could.
All right, Ira, you know what? We've heard Cosmo bark a couple of times during this podcast. And, sometimes if he chases a little lizard into, has he done that yet, where he chases a lizard into the closet?
No, but I think he heard me mention Swaggy Baker. Every time I do, he barks. I don't understand how that happens.
Well,
but,
you're going to say he dropped something.
Well, Ira.
Smart though.
Yeah. Ira, if he chases a lizard into the closet and you go to pull him out of there and you bend down, you pick him up and you see some black stuff on the wall and you touch it and it's soft, it's probably mold. It's probably a leak from somewhere. And the bottom line is, as soon as you see that mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration pronto, as you like to say. You don't waste any time. They're there 24/7. Go to floridaseliterestoration.com to get all the information. And they're going to give you a free estimate, a free assessment of what's happening before you make a big mess of everything and call your insurance company.
And, Steve, we know the people that are in charge of this business, and I vouch for them. I think they're trustworthy. And that's always the key word in any kind of time you let people into your home. And they will give you an honest assessment. And Steve, unlike some other problems in the house, speed is of the essence. And you got to get on the phone quickly with Florida's Elite Restoration.
And, you know, Florida's Elite Restoration, I just got to say, it's not going to be for opening day, but they have offered your buddy Josh, Ira, Josh Martin at Florida's Elite Restoration, he has offered to buy every Bucks fan a Big Storm beer at one of your watch parties. He said, I'll just give you my credit card. I'll buy everybody a beer. How
That's
about
outstanding.
That?
Now we might have DeKemper showing up. Now we might have DeKemper showing up.
All right. There was some news, Ira. A little bit of intrigue. O.J. Howard seems to be the new darling of the week.
Yes.
Which, of course, doesn't bode well for your prediction that Cameron Brate's going to be the Brady go-to guy. But it's only August 20th, so I can't needle
right.
you yet.
Right.
And so he's the flavor of the week. But I sat through the news conference with the tight ends coach, who happened to mention that, quote, sloppy footwork of O.J. Howard in blocking. And he's still learning. And it's just a consistency thing. The coach said, you know, he does it right a couple times, then he gets sloppy. And we're working on that. You know, we've got this bigger picture now. We're learning about Howard. And you've heard the stuff. What do you guys have to think about Howard?
I read some of those quotes. He also talked about he's got to be a better route runner. And this isn't his second year. This isn't his third year. Lee, what the hell's going on with this coaching staff? These are basic things. Basic footwork, route running, precision. You know, what's going on with O.J. Howard for three seasons? He's so talented, Lee, that I believe he scored 6 touchdowns in each of his first two years in the league. You know, operating, it sounds like, on 25% capacity. So I think the problem with Howard's been between his ears. I don't think there's any question about it. His physical skills are beyond reproach. But something, and Lee, once in a while, Lee, you say something very sharp. Very, very sharp.
Uh-oh.
And every time we mention Howard, you come up with this thing like, why did this guy last till 19? By all accounts, he's top 10. He's a top 10 talent. in 2017. What's going on with Howard? And, you know, and Steve and I both knew that the Bucks were very interested in Howard, but
we think
even from a Buck perspective, they didn't think he was going to be there at 19. If he was there, they were going to take him, but they didn't go in thinking, hey, this guy's going to drop to 19. That's our guy. That wasn't the attitude. They thought he'd be gone. And you always suggested, you know, did these scouts know something that the Bucks didn't? So I'm hoping, Lee, this is his last chance. We know that.
Sure,
this is his last chance. Sure.
Contract year.
Maybe the presence of Brady will turn the light on. But if his production is okay and he's still dropping balls and he loses Brady's faith, he's not going to be a Buck in 2021. You can take that to the bank, Lee.
I agree. I had heard that he had thrown in the towel on Jameis. He had turned on him after, you know, Jameis lied to the team. Understandably so. You know, Jameis lied to the team and then got suspended over that hassle with the Uber driver. And he just, you know, he turned the corner on Jameis. I had heard that. I don't know how true it is, but that's what I had heard. And, you know, again, that's understandable. I could see that. You know, when your quarterback lies to you, then gets suspended, and he's the same guy, keeps beating his chest out, he's a leader, well, your credibility goes out the door. But I just wonder how motivated he was. Now, maybe he's motivated with Brady, but another thing, when you just said that, Ira, that, you know, he's got, or Steve just said that, you know, he's still working on the footwork with the guy, and he's a work in progress. You've had him over a year. You've had the guy over a year. And if he still isn't catching on, then that tells me it's either motivation or he can't be taught to be a blocker. You know, maybe he's just like a glorified Kellen Winslow Sr. Kellen Winslow Sr., I remember him. He was not a blocking tight end at all. He was more slot receiver than anything. Maybe that's O.J. Howard. Brady's not a blocker either. He's a decent tight end. So maybe that the biggest and brightest. I like to call Arian's staff the biggest and brightest. Well, this big staff can't fix Howard. Then maybe he shouldn't be blocked. Maybe it's on the coaches to, like, you know, if the guy can't get it right, why are we putting him in that position to begin with? If a guy can't do it, he can't do it. Don't fool around.
You know, Arians can't stop talking about Howard. Howard this, Howard that. Part of that, you know, and Arians is a master psychologist in his own right. You know, with the addition of Gronkowski, it would be very easy for Howard to interpret that as they're giving up on me. You know, I'm here until they can trade me. And I'm not here for long, and I'm not going to be a main target. And maybe Arians is trying to keep his daubers up. How do you like that, Lee? Daubers.
Yeah.
And keep him motivated.
Is that why you take those pills?
Daubers. Those pills are doing a hell of a job. My daubers never been in better shape, Steve.
Speaking of Gronk, I thought it was interesting seeing Gronk take a few questions about Tom Brady, and he very quickly had his line down from New England. I don't talk about Tom. I don't speak for Tom.
Right.
You know, they were, you know, Jenna Lane, it's interesting, of ESPN, and we know that she was told, hey, now you're the Tom Brady reporter. 80% of her questions, maybe 90, are anything related to Tom Brady. You know, like Mike Edwards gets up there, you know, hey, you know, when you went to the bathroom and you came in after Tom Brady, you know, it's that's what it feels like. We're getting all these Brady questions. Sage, it is an honor to do this podcast with you. You bring the juice all the time, and which is O.J. Howard's apparently popular nickname on the team now, Juice.
I heard that.
Lee, Ira, anything you want to say before we get the heck out of here?
Well, two things. The wrap up about Howard, and I think all three of us are jaded enough that we cannot get excited about one practice. But I'll tell you, today at practice, today being Wednesday, this is Wednesday morning practice, Howard was dominant.
Today's Thursday, Lee. Thursday.
He was gouging the defense. They couldn't stop.
Today's Thursday, Lee.
Is it Thursday? Okay. Well, you know, whatever day they practiced, I was there. And he was dominant. They couldn't stop him. He gouged that defense time and time again, him and Brady. So, you know, Brady's word about timing, just judging on one practice, just judging on today, he's got his timing down with Howard very well. The other thing I was going to bring up, Ira, and it's kind of a continuation from your last podcast. And, you know, you were talking about not having Carlton Aseeb might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. The Bucks need him so bad. And I think I remember saying, I just can't go there. I qualified it being by saying I wasn't a big Carl Nassib fan, but that I couldn't see the defense succeeding or failing based on not having Carl Nassib. And right. After we spoke, I thought of this. Remember last year, and you bragged about it on Russo's show, that Shaq Barrett went bananas the first month of the season. Went yep. absolutely bananas. And then defenses figured out, well, we better stop him or he's going to kill us. Now, mind you, JPP was still on the sidelines. He was still nursing his broken neck. And then the defenses figured him out. I can't remember if it was Carolina or New Orleans. It might have been New Orleans. They were putting two or three guys on him every play. They took yep. him out.
Yeah.
And Nassib was starting at the time because JPP was out. And yep. not until JPP returned did Shaq start producing again, because they couldn't devote two and three guys every play on Shaq because they had to worry about JPP. So when Nassib was starting, he wasn't good enough to pull blockers away from Shaq. That's evidence right there that I can't go with Nassib being the deal breaker on the Bucks defense.
There was a 2-week lull before JPP appeared.
Sure.
Where they used a lot of resources. Now, Steve, one more thing I want to say about Gronkowski and the Brady questions, because I asked one question and it was Brady related, Steve. So I'm guilty. My hands up. But I wanted him to say something, and I think he came very close to saying it, as close as he could. And I tried to hint around that, I wanted him to use the word fun, that Brady's he looks like he's having more fun with this new challenge than he has those last few years in New England, where he might have been a little bit beaten down by the whole situation, even though he won a Super Bowl, in Gronkowski's last year in the NFL. And, Steve, I think he said it in his own way that Brady kind of looks a little refreshed at this age, and I think that's going to serve the Bucks very well this season.
It certainly should. We certainly hope so. It amazed me how much Gronk was clinging to the old, and he's such a fun-loving guy, but he's clinging to that Patriot mentality. I asked him very simple, one sentence. I pre-write all my questions, Ira, for these guys. When I'm listening to these other people talk, I pre-write mine. And I just simply asked him, Gronk, can you tell us what's different about this coaching staff versus what you're used to? And he wouldn't answer he didn't answer. He just was well, I love these coaches. They're so smart. He didn't really say anything, which, you know that he's spotted a couple of differences in approach.
Sure.
But he won't go there.
He knows that, and it would absolutely completely blow up. It'd be on TMZ. You name it, man. He knows.
And, Steve, you inadvertently led to a beautiful conclusion to this podcast, because now I got something to ask you. Do you pre-write your questions for me, Esbitz? That's what all Buck fans want to know.
Do I pre-write my questions for you, Ira? Okay, hold on. This is the sound of the paper crinkling since we're done.
Yeah, Ira, you don't. It's been so long since we've done a podcast in person. You don't remember how Steve's always taking notes. He's like, he's gearing up to make us look like fools.
Outstanding, Steve. Steve, if you're using a black felt pen, I want you to start using pencil, because those questions need to be erased. Do you like that,
Ira? No, I don't pre-write the questions for you, but I have it all lined up. On those interviews, though, I do have them all pre-written just so I can sound intelligent, Sage. What's intelligent is for everyone to remember that this podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. You can price your trade right on their website. You can shop. You can see their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, our thanks to Big Storm Beer, Florida's Elite Restoration, Lee, me, Sage, you're out of here.